Thank you for listening to this message from Southwest Baptist Church in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. We are a church family desiring to point people to the glory of God. We are committed to equipping and encouraging one another in the faith and evangelizing our community together. If you want to learn more about Southwest Baptist Church, visit southwestbaptisthavasu.org. Now for this week's message from Pastor Rob Westlake.
We are finishing today this series, Noise Recalibration, and we're coming one last time to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 4 through 8 one more time, and we're going to finish out looking at a way that Paul gives us to find ourselves continually rejoicing in the Lord. And again, this is ultimately what I believe we need to understand when we think about noise recalibration. We've talked in so many messages already on what steals joy, what takes our joy away. We came through a series in the middle of who God is so that we can understand where our focus should be. And then the last few weeks, we've really been spending our time looking at these four verses in Philippians and helping us to see that God has offered to us joy unspeakable and full of glory. That joy in the Lord, which is our strength, that ability to rejoice in the Lord always. And as Paul says, again, I say rejoice. And so as we finish today, I really hope that we come to that idea that we desperately need to be calibrated to Christ. And then as we see ourselves lacking that joy, lacking that strength, lacking that peace, that we recalibrate and find out what's been lacking, what's been knocking us out of tune, knocking us out of sync, so that we might find that joy again, so that we might rejoice again and walk in that life that God has called us to walk in. So you're there. Again, you can see it in your notes. You can see it on the screen here. Or you can see it in your Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Verse 8 is really where we're falling today as we conclude this series of noise recalibration. And as we've looked at these four verses over the last 2 weeks, and we wind down here in verse 8, we find ourselves focused back on who God is, and our need to continually be concentrated on Him. And as we think about that, we didn't spend any time in verse 1, so would you look back up with me to verse 1, and you see this challenge that Paul gives to the Philippians and to us as well as an identifier that can help us rejoice always in the Lord. He says there in verse 1, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown," what's he say? "Stand fast in the Lord." Would you say those words with me? So stand fast in the Lord. Everything that we have talked about over the last few months has been about connecting our hearing and understanding to God and what He desires for and from us. Yet today I want us to be reminded that a large part of knowing that God is enough for our daily lives is that God is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless in the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. And that comes as you and I stand fast in the Lord. That must be our everyday longing, is to stand fast in the Lord, to be focused on the Lord. And so as Paul says here, stand fast in the Lord, And then we flow down to verse 8, I would say to us again that we have a tremendous measuring stick in this idea. Am I standing fast in the Lord? Am I focused? Am I concentrated? Or do I have concentrated focus on Christ? Am I able to rejoice in the Lord in these moments? And we can measure. How are we doing in our everyday walk with God? See, how many times have we said in our lives or heard someone else say, God's been silent? Or we might hear, I just don't understand why God would allow this bad into my life. Right? We have our a tendency to shift the blame for the thoughts, the attitudes, and our actions onto God when it was us who went out of our way to kick the subwoofer and disconnect it from the receiver, right? As we talked about a couple weeks ago, we have knocked ourselves out of sync with God, with His desires for our lives, and then all of a sudden we wonder, where's God in all of this? And we recognize so often that it is us who have separated ourselves from God rather than God separating ourselves or Him from us. So here is how the evaluation goes. Maybe you're sitting there on the couch and you are greatly distressed. Your emotions are just running just crazy all over the place, and you cannot muster any ability to get up off the couch because the sound from God is just silent or broken, and you're sitting there slumped down with no joy. Yet, maybe you have just enough awareness, like I talked about a couple weeks ago, to get up off that couch and to check those connections one more time and ask yourself, who have I been standing in recently, right? Who have I been standing in recently? Stand fast in the Lord. Well, this is wrong. This has gone a mess. This is, you know what? Now that I think about it, you know, I've really been standing in me instead of in the Lord. You might say, what is happening? You begin to question, well, where did I go wrong? And maybe it was for 5 hours every night before bed, you've been standing in Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, and that could be the reason why we think the world is ending and the darkness is about to tank our house and or our house values and our societies, and we begin to find ourselves with a heart full of dissatisfaction. We begin to think then, as we see the world coming to an end, is I won't be able to afford Thanksgiving dinner or buy Christmas presents. All I can think about is tankers off the coast of California, and now I can't get toilet paper, or you just see it all over the place if we're not careful. And we can find ourselves sitting on the couch slumped. Maybe you might say, well, I haven't been feeling good lately, and so far the last week, I've been on WebMD on the internet, and as I look at WebMD, I realize that I probably have pancreatic cancer with fibromyalgia topped with MS, and my whole body's out of, right? I mean, so many of these things just connect together, and I'm not saying pancreatic cancer, fibromyalgia, but you can find all kinds of answers you want on the internet for why you don't feel well, and you've gone to all the wrong sources. Maybe you find your evaluations just out of whack, and you've been standing fast in other humans. You've been standing fast in some news source. You've been standing fast in some personal research. If you and I are going to calibrate to joy you and I are going to find ourselves recalibrating to the joy of the Lord, we must find ourselves standing fast in the Lord. There is a case that Paul tells us here that gives us the ability to recognize how is it that you and I can be standing fast in the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord when everything else around us seems to be going awry. Well, look back with me to verse 8, and let's look through this verse with this main idea, the thought life for joy. The thought life for joy. Paul says there in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever, think on these things. He brings us to the mental game of joy. And I'm kind of glad that at times God is vague in his instructions. How many of you have ever said sometime in your life, I wish God would have just made this clear? You know, as I sat in my office as a pastor and I dealt with individual after individual after individual, bringing question after question, criticism after criticism, judgment after judgment, I would sit there sometimes and I think, God, if you would have just made this a little clearer, I think they could have seen where you were going. But how many of you are thankful that sometimes like this, God is clear vague in what he's saying, and he just says whatsoever. You imagine if he would have said here in these moments, as you drive down your cobbled streets in your horse and buggy, just recognize the truth around you. And then we would come to 2021 and we would be like, cobbled stones? What in the world is he talking? Horse and buggy? How many of you are thankful you're not riding on a horse and buggy on cobbled stones? Yeah. I was running with Aaron one day in Charleston, South Carolina. Charleston, South Carolina, one of the older cities in America, still has cobblestone streets. Never ran on cobblestones before. And I thought by the time I was going to get done that street, I was going to have a broken ankle and bruised body. But, you know, you begin to recognize then, God isn't just talking about one point in my life. God is not just talking about one stage of humanity. God is not just talking about one time period in history. God is not just talking about one event or one struggle. He gives us this idea of whatsoever. And so you might have a whatsoever today that's different from my whatsoever. The world's going to have a different whatsoever than the church whatsoever. And so we need to recognize the beauty in what God has given to us as we think about this thought life for joy. Now, you think about the opportunity as you come and you see in your notes 8 points. Now, we're going to take a lot of time on letter A because I think it develops for us a way to work through these. And so please understand, you're not going to miss lunch today with 8 points, but we want to give them to you. You can see them. And I really would encourage you to really take these and really begin to work through them on a regular basis. And I believe you will find yourself fulfilled in a lot more joy than maybe you have in the past. And so if you see it there, the first blank, letter A, is truth. Whatsoever is true. Whatsoever things are true. As we think about the word truth, we unfortunately have to be reminded that there are things, no matter what we have been taught over the last 25 years, there are things that are true and will always be true, which means that there are things that are false, that are a lie from the enemy. And so we find ourselves in a very large battle for truth, and so many times this battle can become a great joy stealer. How many Christians did we see last November display extreme lack of joy because their focus was on people rather than their king, right? Remember so many times I've mentioned the Lord's Prayer in our services. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And you know what our joy comes in? Oh God, you know elections are coming up. And I pray that you put this person in place. Right? Is that how we're praying? No. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Do you understand that we saw a great separation of the wheat and tares over the last 18 months?
Oh, yeah.
That we didn't have to deal with at all. I will admit to you that I have never enjoyed church discipline. I've never enjoyed dealing with difficult people. And it's also caused a lot more problems in the church than really I have found to help. But you know what God did by putting somebody that probably the majority of us here would not agree with? It rose the church up and set aside the tares that were trying to cause problems and struggles. And so you see that we need to make sure that our lives are focused on the truth. How many times over the years have you heard the question, can we really know truth, or what is truth? This is being asked consistently in 2021, but can I suggest to you that this is not a new generational question? Jesus was asked this question leading up to the crucifixion there, standing before Pilate. He's explaining some things. He's saying just a very few words, and Pilate makes this statement, what is truth? Pilate was struggling there in those moments with the pressures of his job. He was struggling in the decisions that he was being pressed to make. And you notice that Jesus had just told Pilate that he had come to bear witness to the truth. And yet Pilate could not come to grips that God is truth. And so we are reminded this morning that there is truth that is planted as absolute truth. Right and solid. And I always love it. And we get it. And maybe you've got it over time. There is absolutely no truth that we can know absolutely. Right? You ever heard that? There's no such thing as absolute truth. How many have ever heard that? You know, it kind of makes me chuckle in just that moment when somebody says, and I'll just look to them and I'll say, are you sure? Are you really sure that there is no absolute truth? Yes, there is absolutely no absolute truth. Well, wait a minute here. If you are sure 100% that there is no absolute truth, you have just made an absolute statement. And you just see the folly in this thinking that people can tear down the truth of God because they want to live a lie. And we need to help them see that there are things that are true. But you and I need to understand as well that you and I must think on whatsoever is true. Over the last 5 years, I've been engaged in different ways to make or to bring awareness to veteran suicide. And just the recognition that it is a large problem. And I want us to grasp just how much of a mental process suicide really is. Some influence has entered into a person's life and now their mind is working overtime. A few years ago, we were told that the number was 22 veterans a day committing suicide. Just the other day, I heard that they believe it's somewhere now around 17. But you think about how devastating that idea is. But think now the conversation has risen to the top over the last 18 to 20 months about teen suicide. And specifically as we've been ravaged with social media and how a teen can hardly understand truth from error on social media, and it's affecting their mind. I was just flipping through and I just read of this new challenge that has come up for what they call Move Ember, really for November. For years, I've known it as No Shave November, best month of my life until I just quit shaving, and that was a blessing in and of itself. But it was the idea to raise awareness to pancreatic cancer, but somebody just mentioned the idea to run 60 miles in November. for raising awareness that we are told 60 men an hour now are committing suicide. I mean, you see the epidemic that is happening in suicide, and may I suggest to you that these are staggering numbers to think through. Although we would say that the moment of suicide may be a rash decision, but it's been probably wrestled with beginning in the mind for months or years. And you recognize how powerful our thoughts are as they direct our life and actions. Aaron and I were driving down the road the other night, and he was telling me about a story he had just heard of a man who was found dead in a refrigerator cart. He was sent there to fix the mechanics of the refrigerator cart. He got locked inside this refrigerator cart, and they found him dead there in that refrigerator cart. And it was suggested that psychologically he knew he was in a refrigerator cart, and his body shut down because of the atmosphere that was in him. When they did tests on that refrigerator cart had not got down below 50 degrees. But his mind had told him he was in a freezer cart, and it shut down. And so I understand that as we come to this idea of whatsoever things are true, I've taken us to a very extreme topic. And I get that, but we recognize the very real possibility that we have to allow our minds to convince us of things that are not true and are not right. And we understand this idea as we come to it, that Paul said to the church at Rome there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. And we too ourselves need to recognize when our emotions and our feelings and our thoughts are walking contrary to the word of God. We ourselves are a man who is a liar. And we need to align ourselves back up with the truth of the word of God. And so you think about this as we bring it down to maybe the bread and butter of our everyday lives. We might make statements like this. I'll never be happy again. This is just the way my life is. We might make the statement, if I had more money, it wouldn't matter what's going on. I could just live a little freer. We might make the statement, I don't have what it takes, or this always happens to me. Or we might find ourselves in a relationship and we might convince ourselves or tell ourselves that they just don't love me anymore, or I'm not worthy of love, or they just have to accept my limitations. And maybe we might say, I just never say the right thing, or we cannot agree on anything any longer, or we might feel like they don't find us attractive anymore. And I wonder, do you hear those statements that we're making in our minds day in and day out? Those are things that we are telling ourselves that are maybe apart from the truth of the Word of God. And we're telling ourselves that we just don't measure up, or this marriage is not going to get any better from here on out. Or we might say that that's just the way my kids are, or my dad was like this and that's the way I was raised, or my grandfather taught me this, and I've got an addiction. And we're just putting all of these ideas and thoughts out, and then adding to those thoughts and ideas excuses on why those thoughts and ideas are okay. And then we just come to the conclusion that I either have to live with it because that's the way it is, or this world would be better off without me. My father would be better, or my family would be better off without me. And so I want to challenge you this morning that we have to constantly check our thoughts so that our feelings do not influence us to choose us something that we are going to regret once our feelings catch up with the truth of the Word of God. And so you see how vital it is to stand fast in the Lord, who is truth. We have to check our lives by truth. We have to think on those things which are true. We have to recalibrate to that which is true. And so may I suggest to you, as we leave this first statement, that gives us the ability to rejoice in the Lord always. I would suggest to us that what we find is truth is going to lead us through the rest of all of these ideas. And so Paul says, think on these things, whatsoever things are true. And then he says, whatsoever things are honest. Listen to this thought that William Barclay makes as he thinks about this word honest. He says, the word really describes that which has the dignity of holiness upon it. These are things in this world which are, or there are things in this world which are flippant and cheap, things which are attractive to the light-minded. But it is on the things which are grave and serious and dignified that the Christian will set his mind on. You know, we can get our lives in all kinds of a mess when we allow our thoughts to linger on things that are not honest. And so we have to come to the point where we have to be real, and we have to admit that we have engaged so heavily in the trivial things of this world, and we've allowed ourselves to linger there so long that they have become abundant in our lives, and they are beginning to rob us of our joy. And yet Paul says here, in the middle of all of the lighthearted, the easy, the trivial, you need to think on those things that are grave, that are sober, that are serious. You know, we might go throughout our life and we might come home from work and we might say, you know, I just got to sit down on the couch and watch a couple hours of TV and unwind, right? I mean, we can all get there. Tough days at work, long days in the heat, we can get there. But what if we changed that thought and we thought, you know, I have a couple hours right now. How might I influence my community with the gospel, right? It's a different thought. I can sit and I can think on the light and the trivial and the nonsensical, or I can think about how God could use me to bring glory to him in the middle of a mess. How can I live in this home that would breed joy rather than judgment, right? You have so many men that we've seen throughout history decide to go to the bar and tell their problems to a bartender rather than to go home and think on those things that are honest and deal with those problems in the home. To deal with the problems in their own heart so that their home might be filled with joy. And so Paul says, whatsoever is honest. Paul then instructs us that joy is going to be found when somebody thinks on or is focused on that which is just. He says, whatsoever is just. Now, it's not hard for us to let our mind wander here and think about how great his word could be in this world if we as believers, or if just this whole world would think about justice, think about things that are right and holy. Now, I'll tell you, I've really, really tried to stay out of the political world. It makes me upset, unhappy, unfulfilled, loss of joy. And I was telling Glenn this morning, I said, I just flipped on a podcast and it came across, and then it came across my screen, and I just prayed to God, please tell me that this is not true. And talking about the political parties now desiring to give money to illegal immigrants. And there's zero justice. There's nothing there that is right and holy. And again, we can discuss whether they're even, you know, have a righteous framework or thing. But you begin to understand, you and I need to figure out how to think on things which are right and to recognize when things that are unjust, how we transition to things that are just. And, you know, I had to walk away and as frank and truthful as I could be, frustrated and pretty darn angry as an immigrant, right? From what I've gone through. And I just had to pause and I had to say, you know what, God, I'm thankful what you did when you did it in my life, and that then you gave me enough money to be able to redo the process so that I could stand before whoever I stand before in the United States of America and say, I am here legally by government standards, right? And so you see, I could sit here and I could go on social media and I could type all kinds of things and I could ravage all my Republican friends, right? Isn't that how Facebook works nowadays? No Democrat sees it because we're not friends with Democrats, right? We can yell out all kinds of nonsense on the streets and, but what about just taking our thoughts instead of living with more gray hair that we've created ourselves by the stress we've put on our lives, we begin to think on things that are just, things that are right and holy. You begin to understand that as our world gets more evil, as they call more evil good and good evil, you and I are going to have to focus our thoughts on things that are just, or there is no chance or hope for the church to have the joy of the Lord in their lives. We're not called to think about loopholes that others have created, but we're called to think on what is right and what is holy. And we need to understand that. You notice then Paul points out letter D, think on whatsoever is pure. Paul is pointing here to what is morally right. And again, it doesn't take us very long to begin to think through the whatsoevers. And how many of you have realized that in 2021 that this is a 24/7 battlefield of the mind? We are faced with thoughts of politics, we're faced with thoughts of human sexuality, we're faced with thoughts of greed and lust of the flesh. We find ourselves battling TV, we find ourselves battling people at work, we find ourselves in the thoughts of our own head and mind every single day. We're living in one of the most impure environments this nation has ever seen. And what we begin to realize is that those thoughts of impurity are major joy stealers. See, impurity is often masked so it doesn't look as bad as it is. But then when that impurity is really brought to light, you realize that your thoughts have completely led you away from God rather than closer to God. I'll just tell you this. Again, I listen to a lot of nonsense that probably I don't need to listen to in my 8 hours a day. And I was listening to an apologetics podcast, and they were bringing up this new concept of ethical pornography. And I'm just thinking to myself, who in their right mind can even come up with a concept to think on those things, to even try and make it ethical? Notice what David says in Psalm chapter 101, verse 1. I will sing of the mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, and I will sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. It's effort. It's work to think nowadays. It takes struggle. It takes passion. It takes desire. Are we going to mess up with impure thoughts? Absolutely. But how many of you are thankful, as we talked about in Bible study this morning, that you and I have an advocate who is fighting for us, that we can go to, that can forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? But we have to have that want to, in that whatsoever, to think on those things that are pure. And so we find ourselves in a battle here. And so let's just run a trail real quick, too, of two regularly used words that can easily lead to a life of impurity: need, deserve. They seem like harmless words until they're attached to things that stand in stark contrast to the will of God for your life. You need a boyfriend or a girlfriend to be happy. You deserve a boat because you worked hard all year long. Now, I want you to understand, impure thoughts aren't just sexually driven. It is what goes against the purity and holiness of God. And see, relationships with someone aren't of the opposite sex are not impure, but attach that relationship to making you happy, and that is where impurity comes. To think about getting a boat is not impure until that thought is that it's your money and you get to do with it what you want because you deserve it, because you earned it. Satan is always making, or Satan is always masking destruction with delight. And how many of you realized the order you got when you walked into that mask of destruction, that it was all destruction when that mask was taken off? Right? That's why we're always trying to warn younger people. That's why our hearts drive for younger people. But how many of you realize the older you get, those masks of destructions are just masked in a different way? You and I not only have to think about young people, we need to think about ourselves as well as we walk through this world with the possibility of thinking on whatsoever is pure. Notice next, whatsoever things are lovely. It pictures things that call forth a response of love and warmth versus bitterness, criticism, and vengeance. We might say it this way. We can think on things that are going to edify and encourage. That's one of our desires here, the how-to. How are we going to direct people to the glory of God? By encouraging one another in the things of the Lord. I just sat real quick. We're running out of time, but let me tell you this story real quick. I received a gift in the mail. It was a baseball jersey for a team that my uncle had played for. And it's just a great opportunity for me as I see that baseball journey to think about the times where he used to take me to the Toronto Blue Jays games in Toronto, and to the investment that when I got older and I married Christy and we would sit around with them, it was just conversations of, hey, how's the ministry doing? How's your walk with the Lord doing? Hey, what are you doing now to see God do in your church? And he said, hey, what can I pray for you about? And you know, I'm just thankful that I can have something like that where I can think, hey, that's something lovely to think about, right? That's something worth spending my time thinking about. It really is so easy for us to think about the enemies of the church. It's so easy to think about the evil of this world. It's so easy to think about the problems of our own life. What if we started to think about those things that are lovely? For by grace are you saved through faith. For God so loved the world. His mercies endure forever. They are new every morning. I mean, there's so much that you and I can think on that is lovely, that can breed joy rather than discouragement. Notice he says on things that are of good report, things that are of value or of worth. It kind of lends us to things that work against the impurity, work against lies, work against the ugliness of this world. What has value? What has worth that we can think of? If there anything be a virtue next, gives us this idea of excellence. What is it that we can think on that would breed excellence? And then you notice that last thing, praise. I want to encourage you as we think about this last word of praise. Isn't it easy to grumble? How many of you would agree it's easy to grumble, right? It's easy to look at what we don't have, what we do need, the problems of this world. I just want you to think about, just on a scale of 1 to 10, how much better would your life be if you thought on things that were praiseworthy? Just maybe answer that to yourself. So if you know that in your heart, why wouldn't you begin to implement that in your mind, right? I know that if I thought on things that were praiseworthy, it would breed the joy of the Lord in my heart. So why don't I? We have so much here as we think about these things that we can think on. I just encourage you as we conclude this series, Noise Recalibration, are you calibrated in Christ? If you are, have you been able to recognize those things that tear you down and pull you away from Christ? Have you been able to recognize your need to recalibrate, when to recalibrate? how to recalibrate, and who to recalibrate to. And then as we finish today, just this idea moving forward. How can I have the joy of the Lord regularly? How can I rejoice always? It doesn't matter if the pastor preaches an absolute bomb or he preaches a good. I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. It doesn't matter if I go home after work and I am just so tired that I don't want to do another thing. I can have the joy of the Lord. It doesn't matter if my boss yells at me and rips a piece off of me. I can have the joy of the Lord. It doesn't matter if my wife burns dinner. I don't know why I always go there. It's not about burning dinner, but you just recognize how easy it is. No matter what conversation we're having, if you and I will just plug in to God who loves us, we can rejoice always. And again, as Paul says, rejoice. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to gather together again this morning. And we recognize that we live in a very difficult world.
Hey, this is Pastor Rob. Before we end this time together, I just want to say thank you for taking your time to listen to this message. It is my prayer that today's message has helped you to see the glory of God just a little bit more. If you have questions about the good news of Jesus Christ, I would love to connect with you. The easiest way is to just jump over to the Connect section of our website and you can send me an email. If you live here in Lake Havasu and don't have a church home, I would love to meet you on an upcoming Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at our building on North Kiowa Boulevard.